on Tuesday's front page, an accused gunman goes to court in Arizona, where there's a passionate gun culture that crosses political lines. Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords owns the same kind of gun as suspect Jared Lee Loeffner. In Pakistan, the same young lawyers who were once considered a force for democracy are now rallying around the guard who assassinated a provincial governor. And a school in Brooklyn that's going against the tide. It's increased class sizes. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Jared Lee Loeffner appeared in federal court in Arizona. His head was shaved and his hands and feet were in restraints. As he faced the magistrate, he didn't indicate whether he'll contest the charges linking him to the shootings that left 6 dead and 14 injured in Tucson over the weekend. He was assigned a public defender whose past clients included convicted Unabomber Theodore Kaczynski and Al-Qaeda operative Zacharias Moussaoui. Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords remains in critical condition. Doctors say she continues to follow simple commands. Tensions have long run high in her district in Arizona. It's a swing district and it borders Mexico. That means immigration is a major local issue. But as Times reporter Mark Lacey explains, in the aftermath of the shootings, Arizonans are talking about other things.
Really, what this rampage has done is it sparked a fierce debate all over this state on a whole range of issues. There's debate starting on gun control. Are this state's laws too lax? In Arizona, people on both sides of the political divide believe in the right to bear arms. It's not a partisan issue. It is legal to carry concealed weapons here. It is legal to enter the state capitol with a gun. It's legal to go into a bar with a gun. And interestingly, Congresswoman Giffords is a supporter of a lot of the laws that are in place. She, in fact, has a Glock pistol herself. She is an owner of the very same pistol that was used on her.
Times reporter Mark Lacey. Representative Giffords told the Times last year she was a pretty good shot. There's been an outpouring of grief around the country. In Washington, President and Mrs. Obama observed a moment of silence. Later, the president said it was important to focus on how courageous the people at the scene were.
A 20-year-old college student who ran into the line of fire to rescue his boss, a wounded woman who helped secure the ammunition that might have caused even more damage, the citizens who wrestled down the gunman. Part of what I think that speaks to is the best of America, even in the face of such mindless violence.
In Pakistan, a follow-up on last week's assassination of the governor of Punjab. Among the Pakistanis praising the attack are young lawyers who were once considered a force for democracy. On the way to court, the lawyers showered rose petals on the killer. The lawyers are the latest sign of a deep generational divide that's tearing at Pakistani society. They've come of age since the 1980s, when General Muhammad Zia-ul-Haq was in power. To unify the country, he promoted Islam in the schools. Times reporter Sharon Otterman looks in on a school in Brooklyn that's flying in the face of keeping class sizes small. It has 60 students in one classroom, along with 4 teachers. The emphasis is on independent learning and self-expression instead of strict structure and discipline. Founder Shimon Warrenker took inspiration from an elite boarding school in New Hampshire. Warrenker says he wants to prove the right classroom environment can help any child, anywhere. Inside Tuesday's Times, former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay was sentenced to 3 years in prison. DeLay was convicted back in November on money laundering and conspiracy charges that had to do with a scheme to channel corporate contributions to state races in Texas. Judge Pat Priest listened as DeLay said he felt he'd done nothing wrong. The judge rejected DeLay's claim the case was a politically motivated vendetta. California Governor Jerry Brown's proposed new budget calls for $12.5 billion in spending cuts. He also wants a 10% cut in take-home pay for some state employees. All of that will cover about half of the deficit Brown is facing. He says the state's leader spent the last decade balancing the books with what he called gimmicks and tricks and unrealistic expectations that pushed California deeper and deeper into debt. Thursday's Business Day section profiles the $600 billion man. His name is Josh Frost. He works for the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. He's leading the team that's buying billions in bonds from the savviest traders on Wall Street. The Fed wants to keep interest rates low and, in the process, revive the economy. The Fed's critics say it's a Hail Mary play. Here in New York, city officials admitted to errors in the way they handled last month's crippling snowstorm. At a five-hour city council hearing, Deputy Mayor Stephen Goldsmith apologized. He also announced a 15-point action plan. It's supposed to keep the city from being unprepared and officials from being unaware of conditions on the streets. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.